back, everybody, to a brand new episode. All gas, no trash. Conspicuous by my absence. But not really. I don't think anybody noticed. I'm a little sad. But you know what? It's the Game Rage. It's the No Curse Minute sponsored by Game Rage Magazine, so I can't curse or give expletives as to my disdain. But it doesn't matter. Because today, we're reviewing something that has been, like, what is it, months?
3 months.
Maybe even years in the waiting. Decades, perhaps, in the making. Jelly Haha's new album. Latest album. Well, debut album, I guess, right?
Switcheroo.
Man. I'm pretty excited. All right, it's been past a minute. Okay, good. First of all, you know, all these motherfuckers that listen to us, and nobody was like, oh, hey, what happened to Josh? Where's Josh? I almost died, okay? I just want you all to know that. I almost died and no one cared. No one gave two shits. I could have been dead. And you wouldn't have even known. Didn't even ask questions. Didn't even want to know nothing. So, you know, for all the great entertainment I provide you, maybe I'm not going to anymore. Well, I mean, I'm going to for this one because it's Jelly Haha. I can't not. All right. I can't fuck myself to fuck Jelly Haha. All right. So anyways, do you have any, I don't know, you did that whole conspiracy theory episode.
Yeah.
But do you have any, I don't know, lore, or should we just fucking pull our dicks out and get right into it?
Well, the skinny of it is that in addition to the album releasing today, there was a visualizer album. So if you go on YouTube, like a visualizer.
The Windows... The Windows Media Player that would have like the little thing.
Yes, but it's not just that. It's the entire album with visuals for all the songs. It's a giant house, and every time a song plays, it moves to a different part of the house, which is kind of cool. But yeah, so I had to look at the reviews on albumoftheyear.org. Because
albumoftheyear.org.
Yeah,
the fuck is that?
They aggregate. It's like Rotten Tomatoes for albums.
Oh, okay.
I just had to see where this album is at, because.
All right. Well, I mean, like, just out of curiosity. Well, I think most people already know what the fuck we're probably already going to give it. But what is the, like.
All right. So in terms of reviews, it is on, because it's an aggregated score from three reviews that. Exist.
There's only three reviews
that exist on, you know, on albumoftheyear.org. Like, I don't know where it pulls from, but the most important one would probably be Pitchfork, which gave it a 7.5. Yeah, I was like, man, that's fucking harsh.
I don't think Pitchfork knows what the fuck they're doing.
I don't think so either. But there was this other blog called God Is in the TV that gave it a 9. And this other one that I think it's like All Music or something like that. Another small blog. And it gave it like a 7.5 or something like that, or 7.
Well, maybe they didn't pay enough money to Pitchfork. So that's why
I think I have some ideas of what the criticisms might be, but I actually think it's by design from Jelly Haha's end. But I don't have anything else to add. Y'all know what we're about. We did 9 episodes. If you want to know the nitty gritty details, you go look at the 9 fucking episodes.
God damn, we did 9 episodes about Jelly Haha and she didn't even put out a fucking album.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I don't keep track of this shit. I have no idea.
Yeah, we did nine episodes of her.
Jesus.
So.
I just
talk about
up.
Continuity, man. And giving a fuck.
Dude, this is the Jelly Haha cinematic universe right here. All right? Yeah. We are it. Okay?
We are the lore keepers, man.
Yeah, man. We really are the keepers of the tome.
Yeah, I think we've kept a pretty good log of what's been going on, but I don't really have anything else to add that I don't think the story ends here, because we're obviously going to keep track of how she does post album.
Well, yeah,
what's going to happen to her after the fact, because. We have to. It's imperative that we keep track of what happens with her, because I still believe that there's bigger things on the way for her. And this is only just the beginning, because this is post album and all this shit. So anyways, that's like a long winded non fucking exposition segment. But let's just get down to brass tacks.
All right. Let's get down to the nitty gritty and let's go ahead and fire up your Google machines, your interdimensional audio interfaces, your intergalactic musical devices, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, that that Rick and Morty interdimensional cable network.
Yeah. turn it to the Jelly Haha network on your intergalactic interdimensional cable or whatever it is. And also, if you want to know the lyrics, they're only on Apple Music, right? You said
Apple Music at the moment is the only place that you can actually get the lyrics.
So we're going to fire it up. Because we're idiots. So we need to know. We need to know exactly what it said.
We're such nice guys that we're not even going to docker points for making it harder for us.
Well, hold on. It ain't hard for us. That's easy. I like that. Good. It's on Apple Music. I know how to use it. I know where it's at. You know what? Bravo. Actually, bonus points for only putting on Apple Music, because if you're a scumbag and you don't have an Apple device or you don't have Apple Music, then you don't deserve to have the fucking pleasure of knowing what she's actually saying. Okay? And that goes for you, Adam, with your shitty Android phone and your shitty bullshit. And I don't even want to hear it. All right. Apple Music. Bravo.
Way to make me look like a fucking asshole.
It ain't hard to do.
God damn it.
Anyways. All right. So here we go.
First track
out of 10. Man, 10. Fuck. Perfect number. God damn it. Everything is just so perfection. Here we go. First track, Funny Music off of Jelly Haha's newest debut album, Switcheroo. Here we go. All right, that was track number one, Funny Music, off of Jelly Haha's debut album, Switcheroo. Oh, man. Would you like to go?
You go first.
Oh, okay. All right. So, that song was transportative. That's not a word. I don't know.
Transcendental?
No, not transcendental. It, like, transported me.
Oh, okay.
Into another movie or whatever. And all right. Me and you were in like an old Cadillac that has no top on it. Okay, and it's like 1983. And we're on the 15 freeway in the desert.
Yeah.
And we're heading to Vegas. And we're like so stoked, but for some reason it's nighttime. Okay, we decided because we didn't have a top on the car that we needed to go at night when it was cooler, and so we also decided that in order to make it like really fun, that we should do like a bunch of mescaline and mushrooms, and like we wanted to really get like the Hunter S. Thompson experience. Like we had been talking about it, and like we're driving, and then the lights are starting to do that like neon thing, like the stars and stuff. They're starting to do that like neon thing. And then the other cars they look like neon lighting from like the 80s, right? What it like looks like, because we're, you know, with the, and then when it comes on and it goes that like funny music or whatever that thing, that's when the shit hits. And then we are literally in a cornucopia of color. It now has become daytime. It's like we were in a black and white movie and now it's color. All right. That's basically like what happened. And we're just like
from the drugs or the stigmatism.
Yeah, it could be the astigmatism. I don't know. But it may be both. It's crazy. And we're just like on our way and having a great time. And then like as the song winds down and you hear that bonk, that's the cop tapping on our window. Well, there's no window but the side of the door because we had no top on the car. And it's not like this is a convertible. Like someone physically removed the top of the car. Like, there's no windshield. It's just the straight across. And we're fucking insane. And that's what happened. That's what I envisioned during this song. This was a great opening track. It was, I mean, despite what I just said, it was very light and airy. You know, it was very, it was a fun track, right?
Yeah.
Anyways, go ahead.
I enjoy this track a lot. It's, I don't know where this one's going to fall. Like once I give the album an entire listen, I have a feeling, I mean, regardless, I know it's going to be one of the top ones. I really enjoy this track. I also have this weird idea in my mind that Jelly Haha's like this, Superman's, there's this villain within Superman's universe called Mr. Mixoplick. He's like a interdimensional.
What? Mr. Mixoplick?
Yeah, he's like an interdimensional being. He's basically like God, like a mischief God.
Okay.
But not so he's a like God, but he's omnipotent, omnipresent, and just a general dickhead.
Oh, okay.
that's kind of the impression, like, that's the impression I get from this song. I really like the, I don't know what it is about one part of the, I'm not sure if it's the chorus, but I'll just say what part it is. I'll have no fun today. I'm going to enjoy it. Like, as if, you know, instead of fun should be enjoyed and it's not something you have. It's, you know, when somebody tells you, oh, go do this or that,
we'll have fun
while doing that.
Yeah.
And it's like, it kind of ruins the fun of it, because like the fun of doing something is because it's intuitive. You want to do it and it's by choice. It's not because somebody tells you to do it. I don't know why. I like that part.
Yeah.
That specific part of the song. But also there's like this weird juxtaposition about the part where it says, see me, it's all a hoax. And then she says, I'm funny for real. There's like a weird parody behind that, and I don't understand what it means. But I also think I'm thinking maybe some of the criticism for the album is that it all feels jumbled, or at least from what I've read from some of the reviews, that they say that like the lyrics are kind of on a superficial level, right? But what if that's like what was intended? Because she is kind of a mischievous type of character, and maybe nothing really means anything and it's all for fun. And that's why I almost don't want to take points away for the lyrical depth, because what if it's just all for, what if it doesn't make sense with intent?
Well, here's the other thing about that too, right? Look at what I just, what I took that song, the meaning of that song. Look at what that was.
Yeah.
Look at what I got out of that. All right. The lyrical depth is like what you make it.
Yeah.
So personally, if someone is not able to pull their own meaning out of it, like, why should you have to be told what the fuck this means? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's where I think a lot of, and again, this is probably gonna piss a lot of fucking people off that are music reviewers or whatever, but that's where you're fucking wrong, is I try to be able to pull, and that's how I know, again, if something is good, if the music and the artwork, not artwork, but the art itself inspires creativity into something else, like that crazy shit that I just popped into my head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though, like, we didn't like, what was that album, the Medieval Torture album?
Dog God from L.A. Witch?
Yeah, even though we didn't like that, or I didn't like that, there was no lyrical depth to it, I still pulled all these references out of it. Even though I didn't like the music or whatever, I still pulled out the, oh yeah, this is like was played during medieval torture, like, I, you know, or whatever the fuck bullshit I said.
Yeah.
Like, that, all that shit that was going on, I still, that music still inspired me to create that.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, objectively, it's good. Even if you don't like it, it's still objectively good. And that's where people who are these quote unquote musical experts, they, if it's not handed to them on a silver platter with like what this means and how it is, oh, I don't. It's bad. It must be bad. And so I don't think that's something that, you know, you can necessarily knock this for.
I guess. And I feel as though that there's something of a Pulp Fiction thing kind of going on, as odd as that sounds. But I'll explain why.
See, that sounds odd, but when you look at the cover, this somehow does remind me of something from Pulp Fiction. I don't know what.
Oh, no. I mean is that. Pulp Fiction was this non-linear, open-ended story, right? And the part that I'm talking about specifically is between Jules and Vincent Vega, right? You don't actually know what happens with the briefcase. You don't know what it is.
No, it's in there.
But you care about the characters and vaguely what is happening around the story of the briefcase, right?
Like, right.
Some people have speculated it's Marcellus's soul and all that shit. And I feel like, to some degree, Jelly Haha's album, and even, I know we've only just got started like reviewing the album, but just because we've listened to the singles and watching the visuals, the music videos and stuff, I feel like it's specific, but it's open-ended for you to extrapolate whatever thing you want to believe. If you want to believe Jelly Haha is an alien, or she's like a hoax, or like a, like an urban myth, like you could take that away. And that's where I think like the kind of has that open-endedness of that specific part from Pulp Fiction, where it can be like whatever you want to believe it is.
All right.
But also, I love how the song is layered, because you start off with like the bass synthesizer, and then you got like that three note melody with the beep 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 oh, beep, yeah. beep. It hooks you in, it really and then does. It just keeps layering. It just grabs a spoon and fucking let's add a little of the cymbals and put that on the fucking sundae.
Oh yeah, let's sprinkle a little add on there.
And then you get the there's layers of keyboards and synthesizers, and it's just so beautifully crafted together. I'm sure we're going to add in who is the person that mixes the album and everybody that's involved like at the end. But just an excellent way to open the fucking album. It's a track we've already heard, but nonetheless, it's still enjoyable. And we got to get to the next track. So this is Spit from the Switcheroo album, the debut album of Jelly Haha. So we're going to listen to Split, pull it up, put it on your phonogram or whatever the fuck you got. And we'll catch you back in a quick second.
All right, that was track number two, Spit. What'd you think about that one?
I enjoy it. Like, I think it's a great track. However, and this has nothing to do with the album review, but in hindsight, I still don't think this song is a single. One that should have been released with all the other singles. Like, this one just doesn't feel like a single to me personally. But
well, it's also because every word in the fucking song starts with the letter S. So that's probably also another reason maybe this shouldn't have been a single.
Yeah.
But that's not like whatever.
It sounds better in the continuity of the album.
Yeah, definitely.
But what I have to add about this song is if you've seen the music video, you notice that the Jelly Company, whatever the fuck that is, I don't mean that in any negative sense or anything like that, but she gets beheaded and her head gets transplanted, which leads into Normalize, right? She gets beheaded, but they're like experimenting on her. And I don't know if you've ever seen those surgery videos where they cut somebody open, their skull open, and they're like doing operations on their brain. And they're like, we need to test if your brain is still working while they're operating on it. Can you say a few words or can you play the violin? And that I feel like that's what this track is they're experimenting on her, trying to find out if she could still function with being beheaded, because there's a portion of the song that says soon and then separation. And then they have her potentially like speaking all this nonsense to see if she's still functional.
Yeah,
because they've experimented on her.
You know, it's like that. It's like that video. I don't know if you've seen it on the internet of like in like the 60s or something. And the Russians cut off a dog's head and then they hooked up all his veins to like a machine and they pumped blood through it. And it like the dog's head's like it's like reacting like it's alive or whatever. And I don't know if it's real or not, but that's kind of like what like this is like. Oh, yeah, we cut off this. We're doing this experiment. We cut her head off.
Yeah.
To see like what's up. This song, I enjoyed the song, too. It was very interesting because as we are continuing our storyline here of us getting going to jail, we get arrested, all right, after, you know, whatever, and we're in jail. And this song starts kicking on, and it's like there's just the beat in the background. And who do we fucking see sitting in the jail cell that comes out of the shadows smoking a cigarette?
Yeah, that can I take a guess first?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Is it Gary Busey?
No, it's not.
Because only a madman is delusional and crazy and as drug addled as Gary Busey would be in this
movie. Even, this was even better. Okay, it's fucking Donald Trump, all right?
All right.
Hold on. Now, don't get all crazy, people.
Yeah.
But Adam has a good point. It's played by Gary Busey. Okay? So he comes out and he's like, listen to me. I have more money than God. Don't worry, gentlemen. I'll get you out of here. And he's like, but first, you got to take these drugs. And we were like, okay. So he gives us these pills, and we take the pills, and then it starts kicking on, right? And then the jail turns into a disco. Like, a disco ball comes down from the ceiling. We're, like, fucking doing that little thing with the face the framing.
Vogue, yeah.
Voguing, and, like Donald Trump's doing the Egyptian. Like all this crazy shit is happening. And we are the only motherfuckers in there, right? And so then it's like, I don't know why. I don't know if this like current, not pop culture, but this current like events is skewing my mind right now.
Yeah.
Because for some reason, as she's like saying the shit, like the S words, or whatever. He's like changing poses into like into things. All of a sudden, like when it gets into surrender, he's on like a leash and like, he's like sitting on like he's like a dog. He's like sitting. You know, a dog sits on it. They sit on their ass and their hand behind the legs like this. He's sitting like that with a leash on, and the fucking Ayatollah of Iran is holding the leash like. Not even, no joke, all right? And he's sitting there, and Donald Trump is just yelling, surrender, surrender, the entire time she's yelling that. And we're like, oh, God damn, what is going on here? And all of a sudden, at the end of the song, like, right before it does that thing where she said, like, Selby, this is the seashells thing or whatever, right? At the end, it, like, it kicks out into, like, the view of the cops that are watching us. And it's just like a bright white ass fucking cell. And we're literally doing like, we're like, it looks like we're having seizures, but we're dancing. And like, and Donald Trump's just like, then she says that shit. And then like, we snap out of it and like scene end. All right. Like, man, I don't know what's happening here, but
this album's like a Rorschach test. It's like, It all kinds of weird shit comes out.
it really does.
All right, so
all right, let's get into track number three. This is gonna be
Normalize.
So pull up your shit. Here we go. Track number three, Normalize. All right, that was track number three, Normalize. Man, I'm scared. All right, I'm scared of my mind, man. It is very crazy right now. Like what is happening?
So we're
in jail still. We're like kind of we're out of being high, and we're like, all right, how the fuck are we gonna get out of here? And Donald Trump is just like, don't worry, guys, I got the medicine. The medicine's coming. And okay, so we look and like it's slow motion. We just see like, okay, it's like one of those shots from like the feet and it slowly pans up. Right. And it's like, I mean, the hottest, like supermodel lady like you've ever seen in your life. Right. She's wearing this like big ass mink coat. The mink is alive. Like it's living. It's a living mink that it's got like tubes and shit. Like it's the most opulent, torturous fucking thing you've ever seen in your life. And she rolls up, okay, and it pans up, okay, and it gets to the fucking face. It is the face of Vladimir Putin, all right? And it's like, everything else is just hot supermodel, like the hottest, just imagine the hottest supermodel you've ever seen, right? That with the face, literal face of Vladimir Putin. And he just gets up and he goes, oh, Valentina, baby, and then like, they just start making just like fucking, I don't even know, like violently making out is probably like the best way to describe it. Like tongues being shoved and it's just terrible. And I'm looking, I'm like, I like hit you. I'm like, is this, what the fuck is going, is that for real? I'm like, are we still high? And you're like, I don't know if we're both seeing it. Probably not, but whatever. And so she just hands the guard like a briefcase of money. And then he's like, oh, baby, what about my friends over here? And then it's like, he points at us and we're just like, oh, yeah, like thumbs up. And then she like rolls her eyes and then just fucking pulls out another briefcase from her fucking mink coat and hands it to the guards. And they're like, yeah, you guys are free to go. And we're like, oh, sweet. And so I don't know if it was like the keywords of this song that were like pumping through, like it was like anesthesia, arrhythmia. And there was fucking, for some reason, pedophilia was thrown in there. And Trump just looks over at us and goes, you guys want to have some fun? And then I was like, I don't know, maybe. And then he goes, well, you guys want to get on my helicopter? And there's a helicopter sitting right there. And he's like, we can go to my buddy's island. It's a really good time. You guys are going to have fun. It's the greatest island you've ever been to. You guys should really fucking come. And I'm like, I don't know if we should do this, man. And there's something that gave me this bad feeling. And then you're like, yeah, man, we should probably not do this. And so we were like, nah, we're going to take a rate check there, buddy. And he's like, all right, well, you know what? My limo's here. I'm not taking it because I'm going to the island. I'm taking Valentina. We're going to the island. We're taking the helicopter. You guys can take the limo. I have a hotel in Vegas. You guys, I'll call ahead. Make sure you guys have a full suite and everything you need possibly for whatever it is you're doing there. And so we were like, oh, cool, sweet. And so then at the end, when it's doing that like rhythmic shit again, we're like in the limousine and we're heavily drinking because it's just stocked with fucking liquor. And it's like the most expensive liquors you've ever seen. And we're just sitting there just cracking them, like bottles from like the 1800s. Like, we're just cracking these things up. We have, there is a wine that was held by George Washington from the 1770 fucking five. And we crack it open and just start chugging it. And we're both hanging out of the top of the limo, like the sunroof or whatever that is. And we're just like, as we're pulling into Vegas, we're just like, oh yeah. I don't fucking know what's happening, but man, I'm very interested to see where this story goes. Anyways, go ahead.
Okay. I actually think this is where the album title comes into play. Here's my preposterous theory.
Let me hear it.
So I feel as though this song, and if those of you that have seen the music video already know what it's about, there's Jelly Haha, whose decapitated head has been placed on this giant clown body, whatever the fuck it is. And the Jelly Company's watching her, assuming they're doing experiments, right?
Yeah.
Oh, choked on my own spit.
Oh, man. Speaking of experiments.
Yeah. So
CIA just fucking planted a. Yeah. They activated that kill switch, but
yeah.
it's not wired correctly. So you just had a. Yeah. You just choked on your spit.
So within the lyrics there, it starts off with saying higher in the sky if you want me to be. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking she's so loaded on drugs, like they've been experimenting on her, right? And
yeah,
she's
yeah.
high as a she's as high as a pie in the sky or whatever. And that's my theory of what those lyrics are referring to.
All right.
And then as she's getting experimented on, it's actually. It becomes like the inverse of that. It's like that Hulk thing from Immortal Hulk, where the Hulk was being experimented on. He's basically been disassembled, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody thinks like, oh fuck yeah, we got the Hulk and everything. We're experimenting on this weird nuclear being, and it turns out the Hulk was just finding out what he was capable of. And Jelly Haha is doing the exact same thing. They're experimenting on her. And she's also finding out what she's capable of. And then as the song works its way towards the end, like within the music video and the music itself, she eventually opens up her interdimensional tent.
Oh, yeah.
Tent-ussy.
Oh, yeah. The tent-ussy?
Yeah. And now she runs the experiment, and they're going to go to her dimension and get their shit turned sideways, the switcheroo, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think again, it's like the nonsensicalness of the words that are put together about like pedophilia. I don't know what they mean per se together, but the only conclusion that I can come to is that it's kind of similar to Spit, where she's just maybe perhaps she's learning about humans and like what they're about, and those are the words that come to mind. Like she's gathering data as well when she's being experimented on and when she's experimenting on humans with the jelly verse, so to speak. But I think this is probably one of the better tracks on the album. Like it's gonna be up there. I don't know where it is. I don't think it's the top track, but I think it's like top three for sure. I've heard from some of the blogs that this was inspired by like Nigerian music, like Nigerian funk or disco or something like that. And that's some of the inspiration that inspired the track. So
interesting.
Weird shit that she pulls from.
That is, I didn't know that there was a genre of music specific to Nigeria.
What do you mean?
Like Nigerian funk or whatever you said.
Oh, well, I mean,
yeah. I didn't know that there was like, oh, it's a different kind of funk. Like it's not regular funk. It's Nigerian funk.
Yeah, there's Turkish funk. There's like, I mean, I don't know if you heard
Turkish funk.
Yeah, Turkish funk. They got like I forgot what that fucking instrument's called, but it sounds like funk, but it's very Turkish. So just, it's, I don't know how to, they have this.
It's very Turkish.
Okay. What it sounds like, it's like a guitar. They have this instrument that is a stringed instrument, right? And it sounds like it's out of tune, and they play that with like the funky music, and it sounds very fucking odd. Like it sounds very odd, all but right. It's very fucking cool.
We're gonna have to listen to Turkish funk later, but anyways, all right. Yeah. So yeah, okay. So now let's get into track number. What are we on, four?
Yeah.
All right, track number four. What's the name?
Bounce House.
All right. Bounce House. Oh, yeah, that's right, because they went into the Tentussi. Okay, shit, this is starting to make sense now narratively. They go into the Tentussi.
The fucking Jellyverse.
And now you're in the Bounce House, which is the snatch, interdimensional snatch.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Here we go. Track number four, interdimensional snatch. No, I'm just kidding. It's, what was it again?
Bounce House.
Bounce House. Here we go. All right, that was Bounce House, track number four, right? Yeah. All right, what do you got for that one?
I think it's one of the best songs in 2025 that I've heard. It was the one that started it all. It was the one that introduced us to this artist. And looking at the greater picture for the song itself, with the other three songs played consecutively, I'm starting to think like the meaning of the song has changed for me now that we have some like context with the other songs. Mm-hmm. I see this song as like Jelly Haha now breaking out from being the experiment and now choosing to be, or I don't know if it's like being omnipotent, but in the very first track we hear her saying in Funny Music that she's a hoax, that she's this or that, and she's all these things, right? So like now she's out in the world and she has now, I guess, come to the minds of like either children or something, because the song is very childlike, right? Talking about like playing patty cake and jumping around and all this shit. So it's like having an imaginary friend, and it's told from these, or rather it's suggested in the song that there's multiple children, right? That have she's played with and doing different things. So I think Jelly Haha's kind of like this Galactus figure, making a Marvel reference, that she, depending on how you perceive her, she might be different things to different people. And I think it's in this song, with having numerous children playing with her, doing different things, that Jelly Haha has now been integrated into the world as this, I don't know what the fuck she is. Again, I don't know what, if she's an alien or an interdimensional being, but she's out there in the world and the people are enjoying the energy or the aura or the vibe of Jelly Haha, which is like chaotic fun or just fun for the sake of fun. So what do you got?
More fucking insanity. I don't even know how the fuck I don't understand how my brain works, but whatever. Anyway, so. We end up getting, as we're listening, great song, by the way, great song. All these songs so far have been great, because I'm forgetting to describe how much I actually like the songs. And as I always say, like, you know that I like the shit if it's like, if I'm coming up with this, like, if you're super detailed, like, ridiculous shit, right?
Going down a divergent path with storytelling.
Yeah, basically. That's how you know I like it. So if I forget to say, oh yeah, I enjoyed the track. Obviously, depending on how long my rant is about what happened during that song in the movie of me and Adam apparently going to Vegas, yeah. then you'll know. All right, this is me and Adam's version of fucking
Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Yeah, basically, yeah, this is our version of that. So we get to the hotel room, all right, and they're like, oh yeah, penthouse, fucking top fucking floor, everything's good to go. We go up there, we get in there, we open the doors, and there's already like someone in there, and we're like, what the fuck? And so we look, and it's a guy sitting on a couch, and like, I don't really recognize him at first, because I'm like kind of half paying attention, because he's literally sitting there with like a giant fucking alligator. Like, he's sitting on the couch with this fucking alligator, and he's like stroking it, like petting it. And I'm like, how is this dude not fucking eaten? Like, alligators don't fuck around. There's no tape on the mouth. Like, this dude ain't the Turtle Man. He ain't fucking putting this thing down. And I slowly start to realize it's Colin Farrell, all right?
Colin Farrell.
And he's sitting there and he's like, you know, talking to his fucking Irish, or like, what you boys doing here, right? Like, you know, he's, and we're like, oh, well, we got this room. We're booked. So we show him the paperwork. Let me show you paperwork. And he gives us the paperwork. We fucking look at it. Like, checks out. We're like, all right. And so he's like, he just yells back to somebody, how them hot dogs coming along? And then this dude like is in the back cooking hot dogs apparently, and he yells out, 2 minutes, Colin. And then he's like, I said 2 minutes 5 minutes ago. And he's like, 5 minutes, Colin. And like, he does that whole bit from fucking Snatch or whatever, right? Yeah. And I'm like, holy shit. Like, we start laughing because like, we always fucking quote that shit. And he's like, "Hey, what the fuck's so funny?" And I'm like, it's just this thing we always do. And he's like, yeah, shut up. And he's like, "You guys like to party?" And we're like, "Yeah, I guess. That's what we came here for." And so he's like, "Here, drink this." And he hands us these two drinks. We drink it. And everything just kind of like melts. Like the room like melts. And then all of a sudden, all right, we are literally standing in the fucking barracks of Full Metal Jacket, like at attention. And fucking Arlie Ermey, if you never seen Full Metal Jacket, is literally just lighting up Private Pyle. And he's saying all the shit. And he's like, and I start laughing because I think it's fucking hilarious. And so then he comes over to me. And he just starts fucking lighting me the fuck up, man. And, like, I'm not, like, in place of the Joker character in that movie or whatever. I'm some completely different asshole. And so he starts yelling at me, and he starts making me do these push-ups. And then at the end, when she's doing that chugga-chugga shit, it's like, he's, like, yelling that at me. Chugga-chugga-chugga, scumbag! And then he starts calling me all sorts of fucking things about, like, you know, very homophobic things. Like, he just starts yelling them at me and how I am just... I could suck a golf ball through a garden hose, and like, he just starts fucking chugga 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 F word. Like he's just fucking lighting me up, and I'm just like, I can't fucking do push-ups anymore. And he's like, if you don't do these push-ups, you're gonna be chugga chugging on somebody's dick. And I'm just like, I don't want to chugga chugga on somebody's dick. So I keep doing push-ups, and then like I think I passed out at the end of the song, and I don't. And that's where it fade to black for that, and then. I don't know what's going to happen in the next, we're going to wake up in some other sequence, but that was like, whatever that fucker Colin Farrell, that son of a bitch Colin Farrell,
yeah,
gave us some fucking roofied drinks or something, made the room melt and put us into Vietnam, basically, goddammit. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
All right, yeah, one thing I had to add real quickly I forgot to mention was that this track, I think this track is the most indicative of Sean Garin, who was the producer of Jelly Haha. If you've listened to Deluxe, or rather if you've listened to their music or are familiar with them, you know that he was part of the project. And I forgot what album it's from, but there is a track called These Are Some of the Things That I Think About that I feel like this is the song where I feel that Sean Garin's presence or his stylings of music are the most prominent, and it reminds me of that track of These Are the Things That I Think About. I forgot what album that's from, but anyways, let's get to the next track, which is what?
We're not even halfway through, and like, dude, my I'm so sweaty, my nipple hairs are just like stuck to my chest, like I can't, like it's fucking insane.
All right, well, let's get to the next track, which is called Piss Artist. Track number 5.
Oh, yeah. All right, here we go. Piss Artist. All right, that was track number 5, halfway through the album, Piss Artist. All right, let me go first, since I just, this was a hard
take
stop
away.
Continuation of the last story. This is a good song, all right? I wake up in a chair, much like the one I'm sitting in right now, and... it's a strip club because there's a stripper in front of me and she's talking. She's like dancing on me, but she's talking on the phone and she's like these words. She's like, oh, remember that one time when like I pissed in a jar and whatever. It's like she's saying all this stuff. And I'm like, what is happening right now? And then she hands me a jar, like a mason jar full of some sort of liquid. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? And she's just like, just drink it. And I'm like, this kind of looks like piss. And then she's just like, just give me the motions. And she's continuing to tell the story of pissing in a jar. And I'm like, what? No, and she like just keeps insisting. So I go like, fuck it. All right, I do it. So like I drink the thing and I'm like, oh, this is definitely piss. Like this is piss in a fucking jar. Why am I drinking this? What is wrong with me? And this lady immediately turns like into, you remember the fembots from fucking Austin Powers?
Yeah.
Like machine guns poke out of her nipples and she just like her eyes get red and she turns into like this weird digital being and this cord, like her hair, she had her hair in like a ponytail and the hair turns into a USB-C kit cord. And I'm like, and then she starts trying to stab me in the head with it. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing, bitch? Like, why are you trying to stab me in the head? So I'm like trying to block it. And like the back of my hand rubs across my forehead. And I'm like, why is there a port in the fucking middle of my forehead? What is happening right now? So I'm like, did the piss unlock a fucking thing? Did she give me some weird drink that unlocked some shit? I'm like, what the fuck? So I get up and I'm like, no, fuck off. So I try to like run out and I'm like, I'm looking for you. I don't even know where or when we are. And everything in there is blue. I don't know why. Everything is just like this weird blue neon light. And here comes this bitch just chasing after me. And she's fast, all right? Because she's basically a robot. And she's fucking hauling ass. And so we're fighting and fighting. And eventually, she gets the thing plugged into my fucking forehead. And I'm like, oh, shit. Like, she starts transferring data or trying to transfer, like, data into my brain. And I'm like, no, I don't want this. Like, I don't want... Are you digitally raping me right now? Like, what are you fucking... What is happening here? Please stop. And she's just like staring at me like, no. And she's trying to get me to drink more of that piss jar. And I'm like, I don't want the piss jar. And then so she goes to the, like, we're somehow in the bathroom. And then she's like putting toilet water in the thing and like handing it to me. And I'm like, no, fuck off. And I look over to the right and I see Trinity from the Matrix trilogy just like looking at me going like, yeah, man, red pill or blue pill. And I'm like, red bitch, you're not even Morpheus. What are you, what? And then like, I get up and I just run out and I'm running and they're all Trinity from the Matrix is chasing me. This crazy robot bitch is chasing me with her fucking hair plug trying to, you know, come at me again. And I'm just running full clip, full fucking clip. And then like as the ending of the song is happening, like I'm looking back and I see and then I just turn forward and man, I just got like, I don't know, clocked by something. I don't know what it is. I'm out. I'm out. I don't know what's going to happen next. God damn. This song was good. I enjoyed this song. Now, most people traditionally probably wouldn't like this song because it's got like some spoken word element to it, which is this what I'm calling it. Okay. It's spoken word, even though it's just somebody talking and telling a story.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed that aspect of it. I thought that story was actually kind of funny about pissing in a jar and then like her friend getting mad and then being like, oh no, you have to dispose of this information immediately.
This song, I don't know what to say about this because I think it works better when you see her perform because mm-hmm. there's choreography and then you got all the minions, two minions that accompany her. And this song works better when she's doing the dancing and the singing. And having said that, it feels like it's a buried, I don't know what I'm trying to get at, but it feels like a barren feeling, like listening to this without having the visual to some degree.
I'll also say this as well. I think this was a great choice for like the midway point.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Like, this is like kind of an interlude, a little bit, I guess. It breaks it up.
Yeah.
And this was the perfect choice. I feel like it to dump this song anywhere else would have been a mistake. Right dead in the middle. Excellent choice.
Yeah. As far as my personal interpretation of the song is that, let's just say that Jelly Haha's integrated into society and she's moved on from the childlike fun. Right. And now we've evolved into adult fun, which is, you know, pissing in a jar or getting fucking drunk and wasted and doing all kinds of weird shit and talking about people's nipples and stuff. I don't know what the fuck that was about, but yeah. The song, I don't want to dock it points, but just having the audio feels like it takes away from seeing this thing in person to some degree. So I think the song is just okay for me. So that takes us to the next track, which is Tiramisu, track number 6.
All right, here we go. All right, that was old shit. All right, that was Tiramisu. All right, we're still going? Yeah, we're still good. All right, that was Tiramisu. Track number 6. What do you got?
All right. I'm gonna pull something out of my hat.
Oh, yeah, let me hear it.
All right. For those of you that have played the Nintendo 64, there was this game called Diddy Kong Racing.
Oh, yeah.
The soundtrack for that game is wicked awesome.
Yeah.
And there's this specific song on the game. or stage for the song, or vice versa. There's a song for a stage. It's called Dark Moon Caverns. And if you guys ever have the chance to listen to it, and maybe I'll include it in the description or in a comment of this episode, but this song reminds me of Dark Moon Caverns from fucking Diddy Kong Racing. And as far as the story goes for this particular track, the idea that cracks in my head going back to the Jelly Haha being omnipresent, omnipotent, a godlike figure, an interdimensional being. If there are multiple versions of herself that people perceive, that she's reintegrating, and the part where she's talking about like my mind, mix and match your mind, is her talking about like, oh man, there's all this information I have from all these different versions of myself, and it's overloading her. It's like overwhelming her. And that's more or less what I've gotten from the fucking song.
All right. So things are going to take a weird turn here. All right.
I just want to say that I think this is one of the better tracks. I think this should have been a fucking single for sure.
Yeah. I don't think I've heard this song, so that should have been a fucking single for sure.
Yeah. This was a great song. Anyways.
Okay. Turn. So I wake up. And
butt naked.
No, well, yeah, yes. Okay. Well, hold on. Yes. Okay. So I wake up and I like to, yeah, baby. And I'm like, what the fuck? And like, I'm chained to a chair. Okay. And I look up and who is it? It's Austin fucking Powers. It's Mike Myers, just Austin Powers. Okay. Now we're getting into this thing where I'm going to describe something that can only be explained with a wrestling reference. Okay. So we have...
Is it Tony Khan?
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's not Tony Khan. The reference of what's about to happen, it happened in wrestling one time, kind of. Okay. So you got Mike Myers, okay? He's Austin Powers, okay? And he's like, oh, he's awake, baby, yeah! And he's like, oh, boy, we've got some shit for you, buddy! And I'm like, oh, God, what the fuck happened now? And then I just hear, yes, give him the ultimatum. And I look around, and right next to him, sitting in a chair, is fucking Dr. Evil. And I'm like, wait a fucking minute here. You two are the same motherfucker. How is the fuck is this happening? And then I look over a little further to my right, and who do I see? Fat bastard. Full, like, no, like, just no shirt. Literally just sitting there eating a thing of tiramisu, like a tiramisu out of a bucket. Like, you know the buckets of tiramisu they have at Sam's Club?
Yeah.
He's literally eating, like, a giant bucket version. He's just fucking scooping in his mouth. It's falling all over his tits. It's getting in his chest hair. It's fucking everywhere. Okay, and he's just chomping on it. And so I'm like, what the fuck is happening? And so this is exactly like that time when Mick Foley was all three of his personalities on screen at the same time. This is exactly what this is reminding me of. This is exactly what's happening right now. Okay. And
wait, you got to explain who.
So Mick Foley was all the personas. Yeah, Mick Foley in wrestling, he was three different characters. He was four, but he wasn't four in this thing. He was three different characters. He was Cactus Jack, Dude Love, and Mankind. And if you just to so you get a visual, just Google like Mick Foley or Cactus Jack, Dude Love, Mankind on screen at the same time. Okay, and they like have an interview with each other, and it's the funniest shit you've ever seen in your life because they're all played by the same dude.
Yeah,
and they made it look like they were sitting in the same room together, talking and having a conversation with each other. This is what's happening right now in front of me between Austin Powers, Dr. Evil, and fucking Fat Bastard. Okay, and so Dr. Evil's like, "Yes, well, we have something you may want," and I look over. And I just see, I see these legs, like there's legs like upside down. Okay. And then I look down and there's just like this giant ball sack hanging from the crotch. And it's so comically large that it's covering the rest of the body of whoever it is. Right. And I just start laughing and I'm like, God damn, that's funny. And they're like, oh, you wouldn't be laughing so much. We tell you this is your buddy Adam. And I'm like, no, it's not. His balls are not even anywhere near that size. And so Dr. Evil says, we gave him the elephantitis. And I'm like, no, you did. You can't do that. And they're like, yes, we can. We did. And we gave it to him. And now his balls are so big that he can't even walk. And they're like, I'm like, why the fuck is he naked? And like, why is he up? I was like, why am I naked? Why is he naked? Why the fuck is he upside down? And so then they're like, oh, because of the blood, it would kill you if you were upright, because all the blood would leave your brain and go to your balls if they were hanging below your head. So that's why they have to get angles so you don't die. And then Fat Bastard is just sitting there chuckling. And I'm like, oh, I bet you'd like him to get in your belly. And then he just looks at me and he throws a piece of fucking tiramisu at me. And he's like, shut the fuck up, ginger man. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. So I'm like, well, okay, well, what do you guys want? And then Dr. E was like, we want $100 million. And I'm like, I don't have no fucking money. And I was like, or else what? Are you going to turn his balls back to normal size? Like, what do you have the potion for that? And then they all look at each other and go, oh, fuck, we didn't think about that. So I'm like, oh, great. So then Dr. Evil tells me, well, we've seen you, our friends with Donald Trump, and he's got a lot of money. So we want you to call him and get the money. And I'm like, we're not friends with him. Like, I don't, this isn't going to work. And so then you like wake up during this and I just hear this muffled like, and I'm like, hey, I think he's trying to say something. Can you like remove the balls off of his balls off of his
sack?
Yeah, lift his sack up a little bit. So they have these two fucking it's two mini me's.
Yeah.
It's like the Dr. Evil's mini. There's two of them, and they go walk up and they both pick the one. He picks up each ball and they lift it up so I can see your head. And then your fucking hair is all like fucking. It's like it looks like you got electrocuted. Like your hair's all fucking pushed out. And you're upside down and you're like just fucking give him the phone number, like just tell him. And I'm like, I don't have the I'm naked in a chair, I don't have my phone on me. And so then they pull out my phone and then they like fucking go through it and they're like, okay, they find Trump. And I'm like, I didn't even know I had this motherfucker's phone number. And they start calling, and then I shit you not, as the dial tone is going for like three rings, the ceiling cave busts in and it's like a toy RC version of a stealth bomber. And it's fucking Donald Trump sitting on top of it. And he's like, me and Valentina just got back from the island. He's like, you know, it was an evil guy island. It wasn't, you know, what'd you think I went to? And he looks at the camera and he goes, did you think I went to the Epstein Island? Yeah, not me. And so then he goes, oh, I'm here to save the day, guys. And I'm like, okay, well, do something. And he literally, his solution was literally to fly down in his little, like, RC that he's floating on, his little RC, like, stealth bomber. He flies down, he gets out, and he takes an American flag, like, the pin, and he just fucking, poop, pricks your ball sack with it, and it just fucking completely deflates, and it's, like, it's air coming out of it. It's not blood, it's not jizz, it's just straight air, but it's, like, green air, and I'm like, God, this smells like a ball sack. Like, that's fucking terrible. And everybody in the fucking room passes out except for me, you, and the two mini-me's. And so I'm like, okay, Trump out. He's on the floor. So I'm like, fuck it. We're taking the fucking stealth bomber. The mini-me's, for some reason, come and unchain us. I don't even know fucking why. And so then they're like, ah, rah, rah. They're speaking in their mini-me language to each other, but like, I understand what they're saying, and it's like Chewbacca, right? Like where Han.
Yeah, he just understands.
Understands what he says, and he speaks English to him, and then he understands what he says. So it's like that. We're having this conversation about like, oh, let's just get out of here. So we all get on board. We all get on board the stealth bomber, and it's not big enough for all four of us to fit. So we're trying to fly up through the ceiling, and like as the song is ending, we're like, we're not getting enough fucking lift. Yeah. And we both look at the mini-me's and we both reach back and just fucking flick them. Like, we flick them in the forehead and they fly off into this pit of like lava that I didn't even know was there. And then we get enough lift and we go. And we're flying out butt ass naked. Like, I'm on one of the wings and you're on the other wing of this little RC like thing. And we just fly out. And I have no fucking idea why. I don't understand what just happened, but I think Dr. Evil and I think the fucking Mike Myers personalities are going to try to kill us now. I think that they're really serious and we should probably watch our backs. Oh my God. I don't even know, man. I don't even know how I just like, and I don't know why my brain starts putting these threads together. I don't understand, but this is what's in my heart, so I'm just letting it out, all right? I'm just letting it out.
You got all that from a song.
From a song that was only 3 minutes long. Yeah. That singular shit, this album is maybe, what, 30 minutes?
Yeah.
I'll probably have talked for fucking an hour by the time this episode's done.
Yeah, it's gonna probably be like a 2 hour episode.
Maybe. I mean, we're not even halfway done with we're a little over halfway done. Yeah. We're at fucking almost an hour already.
Yeah.
All right, anyways, let's move on to the next song, which is what, track number 7?
Track number 7, Jellyverse.
Jesus Christ, I don't even fucking know what's happening anymore.
Yeah.
It's almost like it's not even about the album anymore. You already know what I'm gonna give it, but anyways, all right, here we go. Track number 7, Jellyverse. All right, that was track number 7, Jellyverse. That song fucked. That was the best song on the thing so far.
That was a really interesting song, because it's weird, like the sound, it's not sound effects because they're actual instruments, but the bass synthesizer, it's like making this bumping noise, right? And then the keys on layered on top of it and whatever else is going on, it sounds like a bubbling, like it sounds like bubbles. I'm like, what the fuck, dude? That's so cool.
It is.
Really cool track. I feel, well, at least from my own interpretation of this song, is that either Jelly Haha has been exposed to some manner of fun that she's like, oh, I don't know if I want to have that kind of fun, whether it's like mischievous or evil or whatever the fuck it is. And she's like, all right, well, I'm not gonna fuck with these people anymore. Like, I've had my fun with that or this or whatever it might be. And I don't know about the part where she's talking about touching the something about a wall and how it's changing or it's dripping and shit like that. And then the last part kind of makes sense to me, where she's saying that when she's talking about perceiving things and like, what are you even looking at? What's the origin of that thing? And I don't know if she's describing herself, but I feel like it could either be that or even just people perceiving Jelly Haha and being like, dude, what the hell is she? Like, what is Jelly Haha? And they don't know what it is, but it's like, I don't know, maybe that's half the fun, is not even knowing what the origin of this person is, or even for the thing itself, Jelly Haha, the person or the being. She doesn't even know what her origin is because she mixed and matched herself. So, like, I don't fucking know. This, regardless, really cool track.
Yeah, I think this is the best song so far, in my opinion. This is my favorite. So, in the continuing saga of Josh and Adam's Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, we're on the streets. Okay, we're walking on the streets, butt ass naked still, mind you. And
with our wieners hanging out?
Yeah, wieners, full wieners hanging out. Damn. And we're just butt ass naked. And we're like, what are we gonna do? No one is saying anything either. No one's looking at us weird. Like, people are just like, oh, cool, these guys are naked, whatever. Like, they don't give a fuck, apparently. So we're walking, and who goes ahead and rolls up? So alleged good buddy Colin Farrell rolls up. And he's like, rolls his window down on his Escalade, and he's like, oi, I see you guys could use some clothes. And we're like, oh, yeah, that'd be fucking nice. He's like, hey, come with me. So we get in his fucking thing, and he hands us these like, they're like, I don't know if they're suits. Yeah, they're like these suits, right? Mine is, it's like this Tiffany blue color with like this white pinstriping on it. And it's got, they have giant collars, right? And he hands you one that's like this, I don't know, it's like this lime green and it's got these black pinstripes on it. And we're like, oh man, we're fucking bitching wearing these things. We're fucking awesome. He's like, hey, how's you boys like to go have some good clean fun? And we're like, no drugs, all right, no drugs. We think we may have learned a lesson here. We're not quite sure what it is yet, but like, we need to take a break from drugs, all right, and alcohol. Like, let's just take a break. Like, oh no, boys, this is good clean fun. And he fucking like pats us on the back, and he's like, we're gonna go to me arcade. And we're like, oh, you got an arcade? Oh, we love fucking arcades. Like, let's go. So we go, we walk in, and there's like that bubbling noise. I just see like there's fish in this, like these fish, these like tubular fish tanks, and there's, it's like bubbling, and I'm like, oh man, this is fucking cool. And so we see all these arcade cabinets, and I'm like, oh shit, there's the fucking Star Wars trilogy. There's Street Fighter, whatever. I was like, oh, Mortal Kombat, cool. And we're like, you always play this. He's like, no, no, boys, I got a special arcade for you boys. And I'm like, oh man, I wonder what it is. And we're like, so excited. We get in the back, and it's just this room. It's this empty ass room. He flips on this light, and it goes it's like a spotlight, and it goes onto this table, and there's a cloth covering over it. And I'm like, the fuck is this? So he's like, sit down in the chair. So he sits down in the chairs, and he's like, boys, got a real surprise for you. And I'm like, oh, what is it? And he's like, I have access to unrestricted internet from the late 90s, early 2000s. And he fucking he pulls the fucking shade off.
Holy shit.
And there's two CRT monitors.
Yeah.
And there's, I don't know if you remember E-Machines, the fucking computer. It was like the gaming PC of back. Yeah. It was called an E-Machine.
Okay.
And it's got two E-Machines. It's got fucking two CRT things, keyboards, mice. And I'm like, holy. And they're the mice with the ball, the rubber ball, all right? And we're like, holy shit. And on the screen, both of our screens, is the fucking tank logo of Newgrounds fucking .com. And we both like light up. Fuck, we're like, yeah, holy shit. We just fucking hit the literal holy grail of the fucking internet. And we are stoked. We're on there. We're just playing Flash games. We're just having a fucking great ass time. And he goes, hey, you boys are liking this stuff. Hey, boys liking this. And we're like, oh, this is fucking awesome. It's great. And he's like, Newgrounds. Glad to hear it, boys. And I look over at you and I'm like, hey, you got like something on your forehead. And you're like, hey, you got something on your forehead too. And I'm like, well, so like we try to, I'm wiping it off and I'm like, and then you're like, no, it's still there. And I'm like, yeah, you're just still there too. And you're like, and so he's like, hey boys, look at here. And we look forward and there's Colin Farrell behind the monitor somehow. And he both got two USB-C plugs and he just fucking plugs them right into our fucking foreheads. And we just get transported. Like, we literally, our souls leave our fucking bodies and they go through that tube in a kaleidoscope. And you know what's even crazier? We're riding the wave of the actual, like, electrical connection. Uh-huh. And, like, for some reason, we're in the same tube. And we're like holding hands and like we're floating. It's like super weird. And we just keep going and we're like accelerating to the point where all of the lights that are around us are now becoming like they're turning white. Everything's turning white until eventually everything just it's just white. And then that's when like the song ends. Oh, man.
Exhausting, huh?
Dude, this listening to good music is fucking exhausting.
Yeah.
Why can't I just be like a normal human being and go like, oh, yes, I really like the way the synthesizer accelerated 0.2 of a pentameter in the manner in which that it did in the arpeggio of the song. Yeah. I wish I could do that. I can't do that. In the
register of C sharp.
That would be so much easier than what I am doing here now.
Yeah.
And it would have been a lot shorter. All right. Let's listen to track number 8. Wait, you already talked about this one. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great track. And
I'm losing
there was, like, these backing vocals that were climaxing, like oh! Yeah. It just kind of, talking about that, going through a tunnel and going into the light, dude, that's kind of, like, the the feeling or simulation that kind of comes to mind, talking about how things were climaxing in that song. But anyways, we got to get to the next track, which is, it's going to be Dynamite, which is the 8th track off of the album. So it's track 8. Pull up your, well, you already have your digital streaming platform of choice pulled up, but go ahead and do so. And
All right, here we go.
Play Dynamite.
All right, that was track number 8, Dynamite. What'd you think about that one?
I like the track. I feel like possibly Jelly Haha has consumed too much information or had too much fun. And she needs to break out of the monotony. And she talks about exploding her own brain getting what seems to be alluding to like a new start.
Yeah.
Maybe leaving Earth or just destroying her, whatever version of herself she is.
Yeah.
She's doing away with like whoever she is right now, because I guess whatever fun she has as Jelly Haha, it has to continually evolve and manifest in some other different way. So this is like the end of the cycle of who the fuck knows what version of Jelly Haha it is. Like, this is version 999,000 or some shit. And now she has to get to 1 million in order for her to continue existing continuing to have fun existing. She needs to evolve and shed her own metaphorical skin, so to speak, or brain, whatever the fuck it is. So I liked it. I thought it was a cool track. And there was even, it might be interpreted as being disruptive, but that part where she's saying like the chorus, and you have like the callbacks, and it's just kind of looping.
Yeah,
I don't know. That was like a cool thing for whatever reason, and I don't know if people might take it the wrong way and think that it kind of makes the song get lost in the sauce. But I don't know. I thought it was a cool thing within the song itself. But what do you have to say about it?
Yeah, I thought that was a great track. So we get out of the flying, and it's all white and everything. Boom, and we're in like this fantastical like universe of like clouds and like all this cool shit. There's like stores. There's like all kinds of cool shit, right? We're like, oh hell yeah, we're in the digital realm now. This is fucking awesome. And so, good buddy, Colin Farrell appears, and he's like, oh, I see you boys made it. And we're like, oh shit, man, like, what, you put us in the digital realm? That's pretty sweet, man. Like, now we can live forever. Like, we thought we died, like, or whatever. And he's like, oh no, this isn't the digital realm, this is the real world. And we're like, the fuck? And he's like, that where you came from is the digital world. And we're like, shut the fuck up. And he's like, yeah. And he's like, oh, also, I'm not Colin Farrell. And he fucking pulls off his mask. And I shit you not, it is the actual literal Lucky Charms guy. And he's like, and I'm like, I fucking knew your accent was just a little bit off. And he's like, ho ho, me Lucky Charms. And I'm like, is there Lucky Charms here? Oh, there's Lucky Charms everywhere. And he starts just fucking handing out just boxes of Lucky Charms, starts shooting them from his arms. And we're eating it. And I'm like, oh shit, man, there's so much sugar. And he's like, oh, there's no diabetes in the digital world or in the real world. And he's like fucking floating them around. And it's fucking just so great. We're eating fucking Lucky Charms. And we're walking around, and we're going around. We're like literally skipping and like holding hands. I don't know why we're holding hands and everything, but like we're skipping and we're holding hands. And
on our merry way.
Yeah. And it's just, we're having such a great time. We're going to all these stores. We're like, we're buying shit. I don't even know what we're buying. And then he literally, like, as the song is like coming to an end, like, the Lucky Charms guy just whispers, like, we hear like a disembodied version of him whispering, oh, oh. And I'm like, what is this? This is what they took from you. And then like everything kind of just starts to fade. And I'm like, no, wait, no, come back. Come back. What do you mean? And then like that's when the song like fades out.
Yeah.
It fades out. Fuck, man. I feel like this one's gonna have a sad ending. I don't know, man. Even though this is a great album, I feel like this ending of this movie is gonna be fucking so depressing. That's where it's headed right now. We'll see. Maybe we can recover. We still have what?
Two
more songs, 9 songs? And 10? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
So this track is called Johnny.
Johnny. That's track number 9, right?
Yes.
All right, here we go. Track number 9, Johnny. All right, that was track number 9, Johnny. What do you have to say about that one?
That was a very hot track. Oh man, this thing is like off kilt, like, or off, is it off kilter?
Yeah, yeah.
It's all over the place, but it reminds me of like the Undertale like soundtrack, the video game, or some Earthbound shit. I don't know, man. It's a very strange track, but my interpretation of the song is that Jelly Haha in existing within humanity, she developed a friendship with Johnny, right? A person that she met. And it says they met in a cult. And I'm guessing this was like the fun that she didn't want to have. Yeah. It's like, oh, let's fucking join a cult. And then they do it. They get trapped in it. And then he's like, oh, I don't want to. She says she doesn't want to be a part of it. And anyways, after having escaped, maybe perhaps both of them got out of it, they've been able to develop their friendship once more. And I don't know, it's kind of a cute song, so to speak, because there's a part where it says like, oh, he sends me a meme and we drink chai tea or something like that. I thought that was pretty funny, but it definitely feels within like the last two tracks that things have started to wind down. And of course we have the last track that we have to listen to, which is Pluto is a what is it called? Pluto's not a planet, it's a restaurant. But anyways, I like this track. I'm not in love with it, but it's enjoyable nonetheless. It's probably going to be in the bottom tier of songs that I've enjoyed from this album, but I still like it nonetheless. What do you got?
Yeah, no, it was a good song. So we basically wake up. We're on the street. It's raining. We're laying on the street. It's raining. We're like, fuck, man. We're back in the fucking the digital world. This fucking sucks. How do we get back? Like, what do we? And the disembodied voice of the Lucky Charms guy comes on and says, "Oh, if you want to get back to, if you want to get back to the real world, then here's what you have to do." And then he starts going on about how essentially there's this control box that, as he points out, since we've been gone,
yeah,
the three Mike Myerses have taken over the world now. And so it's all Dr. Evil, Fat Bastard, and Mike and Austin Powers.
Yeah.
They're like the fucking heads of the world. So their posters are everywhere, all this shit. And they're like, they're the ones who've been keeping you down this whole time. But now there's this control box, right? And we're just like, but fuck, man, like, how are we going to fucking like, how are we going to take them on by ourselves? And he's like, oh, don't worry, I've got a warehouse nearby full of ammunition and weapons. And we're like, oh, hell yeah. And so then he's like, now the only thing is, if you die here, you die in real life, in the real world, right?
Yeah.
So now we have to be careful, like, we can't die or else we're gonna be dead.
This plot is like Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas plus The Matrix.
Yeah, somehow it turned into kind of like The Matrix. So then we're like, cool. So we go, we get all our shit, and we are just in this like massive, like while this song is playing, by the way, just this massive fucking gunfight, and like just shit's blowing up all around us, and this song is playing. This like kind of whimsical fucking song or whatever, and we're just like throwing grenades and like dropping fucking mortars and shit and just being crazy. And so finally at the end of it here, we are going to we face the final three bosses, and we handily dispatch them, right? And we kill them off, and we go to hit the fucking box to like destroy the control box or whatever that will free everyone from the Matrix. And so we're about to do it, and then that's when like the song ends. So now here we are. Track number 10. Let's find out how this fucking movie ends. Pluto is not a planet, but a restaurant.
Pluto right? is not a planet, it's a restaurant.
Okay, all right. Here we go. Track number 10, final track. Here we go. All right, that was the final track. Pluto is not a planet, it's a restaurant. What'd you think?
That was a very emphatic stamp on the end of the album. Like that.
Oh, yeah.
That was a great conclusion to the album. Like, I think I actually want to give it bonus points because of it. My interpretation of the song is that Jelly Haha has wrapped up her threads on Earth, and Pluto is, as it, the title implies, that Pluto is a restaurant, and it's like the last stop before she hits another galaxy. I'm going to get wacky with it. She pulls out a fucking Sith dagger. She's like, oh, my next stop is Exegol. Like, so then she goes.
I'm going to redo the Sith fleet. Like, yeah. I'm going to take over the world.
Yeah, she's like, oh, she's going to head to Exegol to go talk to the Sith cult and try to have some of that Jelly Haha fun and chaotic that chaotic fun.
Yeah. With the remnants of the Empire.
Yeah. Anyways, that's just me being stupid. But man, I love the fact that every song has its own personality. And it's like there's these distinguishable melodies that are stuck in your head. I mean, Normalize is one of those tracks that you just can't forget because of that bump in like bass line, dude, or the bass synthesizer. Jesus, can't too many cokes. yeah, and Bounce House has that distinguishable factor to it. Pluto is a restaurant, or Pluto is a planet, not a restaurant. God damn it, I butchered the fucking
Pluto is not a planet.
It's a restaurant. Yeah. Another one of those songs that like has a distinguishable melody. Even Tiramisu is like, it's one of my personal favorite songs on the album. I think it's like definitely top three. It's like Bounce House, Normalize, and Tiramisu. yeah, I think this was a great way to fucking end the album. It's very cinematic, man. There was this movie called Turbo Kid. I don't know if anybody's seen it, but it was a limited released movie and it was only shown in like select theaters, but I think it was like a Canadian independent film and it has that feel to it. Even it has like an E.T. feel. Like it just feels like a very happy ending to a very fun fucking album. And I don't think I have anything additional to say. What do you got to say about the track?
Yeah, it was a great track. I think it was a great way to end the album. And honestly, this was the perfect way to end the movie here now with the money shot of the payoff at the end. Mm-hmm. We're about to smash the control box to free everyone from the digital slavery that we are all in. And Colin Farrell shows up right behind us. And he fucking takes his guns and he fucking shoots us both right in the back, right? It blows our lungs out. We're fucking, we fall on the ground and he's like glitching and it's like glitching between him and like the Lucky Charms guy. And he's just singing like, ho ho, me Lucky Charms. Like he's saying shit like that. And we're like, what the fuck, man? I thought you were like on our side. And then it like, it's glitching and then he fucking takes off his mask again.
I'm not really.
And it's fucking Mickey goddamn Mouse.
Yeah.
And he's like, ho ho. Thanks for doing the dirty work, bitches. And he like steps over our bodies as we're puking blood and like it's just gurgling out of our mouths in like just the most violent fashion. And he steps over our fucking bodies and he just starts fucking. He goes up to like this throne. I don't even know where this throne came from. He sits on this throne. He puts on this fucking crown. The mouse rules all. And he's just sitting in the thing. And then it's like that zoom in on both of our faces and like it's like coming up and then it goes to like me and I look over you and we look at each other and you think like this is going to be the end. There's gonna like they're both going to die and they're going to have like some tender moment between the two of them. Right.
Yeah.
And instead, I just pull up and I just give you the fucking middle finger and then it fades to black. And then this song is playing in the end credits and it's this song interlaced with Mickey Mouse doing like self commentary at the end of like, oh, yeah, those two idiots didn't know what they were doing. Oh, man. And he's like, he's throwing out like expletives and like racial slurs. And like, he's like, oh, can't wait to get back to my sweatshop. Ha ha. Man, it's going to be so much easier now that everyone's in this digital world trapped. And now I'm the king. Ha ha. And then like, it's just cutting in between shit like that. The whole end credits. And then that's the end of the fucking movie. Like, we lost. We failed.
Okay.
And now we're both dead. Like, okay. Wow, what a terrible ending. What a sad... You didn't get what you wanted. You wanted us to save the day. I know it. But I can't give it to you. I just can't. Jelly Haha didn't want you to have that. She wanted you to have the middle finger ending. And a great way to end the album, I have to say. I think that's also a great ending to the movie. That's a non-predictable... You can't, no one saw that one coming. I guarantee it. Anyways, final thoughts and scores, I guess.
Yes.
What do you have to say for your final thoughts and give me a score, even though I probably already know what it is.
I was looking at the lot of songs that we heard. Mm-hmm. I was thinking I liked the majority of them and the only one I wasn't really kind of sold on was Piss Artist. But it's not that I don't like it. It's just there are other great songs on the album. And this one feels like it kind of.
But it was a great middle track, man.
It was a great break for the rest of the songs. But it's like. Oh, man, you could have. I don't know what it is, but I was looking at 8.5 for this album.
Okay.
I was looking at 8.5, but just based on how it ended with Pluto's a restaurant, not a planet. Or fuck, it's a vice versa. Pluto's not a planet, it's a restaurant.
Yeah.
Based on how that ended and just the overall feel of the album and how amazing a majority of the tracks are. And again, they are distinguishable from one another, considering that like the entire album is like a synth pop album. Mm-hmm. And also like the emotions that it the emotions and also the memories that it provoked. Like Tiramisu, like I said, it reminds me of fucking Diddy Kong Racing.
Yeah.
I have to give it a nine. I'm gonna give it a nine. What do you got?
Yeah, I was like nine and a half.
Mm-hmm. It's not perfect, but
no, it's not.
It's pretty damn close.
It's not, but it's pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
So I'd be cool with going with a straight nine. This is a solid.
Yeah.
Solid nine.
Yeah.
Like hard nine.
Yeah.
And a well-deserved first album, first debut album, nine, yeah. I think.
Yeah, and I think the part about the criticisms that there was no depth to this album, or yeah. one of those assholes said that there was no substance to the lyrics. And I'm just thinking, man, it's in the nature of the album itself. Like it says that it's like whimsical. It's basically whimsical fun, right? You
yeah.
could take whatever. It's a Rorschach test.
Yeah.
You could take away whatever you want from it. You can look into it as much as you want, or you could just simply enjoy the songs for what they are. Like the catchy fucking melodies, the absurd fucking lyrics, whatever you want to take away from it, go ahead and do so. So that's where I'm like, I think this thing again is a very solid nine. And I'll leave it at that. I think this was a great way to start the long and prosperous tenure of Jelly Haha. I can't wait to see what she does on her next album, like how this project is going to evolve. And it's like I said, it hasn't even really started, because I'm sure she's going to go on tour and more people will get to discover her and find out about her. And I've said it before, man, I think she's going to go on tour with Magdalena Bay, not only because they have the same management, but because they also play similar genres, they just make sense together. So this is just the beginning, and this isn't the end for us either. We're going to keep tabs on what eventually happens with her shit, and
yeah,
we'll do that.
I mean, obviously, we've already done nine. This is the 10th episode about Jelly Haha, so yeah.
I bought a ticket for that show that she has at the Resident DTLA, so I'm sure I'll give updates on that.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Shit, I shouldn't have said that, because if she listens, which I know... Well, at least one of her people listened, because
there's no fucking way that Jelly Haha is listening to us.
Okay, but
there's no fucking way.
All right, maybe not her, but I know for a fact. I even sent you a text or a message, a screen cap that one of the dancers, was spying on us.
Yeah, I doubt they're listening to the episodes.
Oh, whether they are or not, I mean,
they're still spying on us, but that doesn't mean they're listening to. And again. Maybe they really enjoy us, and maybe they just needed a little push to say, like, hey, these guys are really nice guys. We should probably just talk to them. They're a lot of fun.
Yeah.
They're a lot of fun. So hit us up. Hit Adam up.
Nah, I'm good.
Yeah, hit him up.
No, I'm good.
Oh, you don't want to fucking hang out? You want to talk to Jelly Haha?
No, I think I've figured out, like, where I'm happy with music, and it involves not interacting with artists and just... enjoying their music and their creativity, but I don't need to fucking be around.
That's true. Then we don't have to feel like we owe them anything.
Yeah, right. We just fucking enjoy them. And if you guys want to hit us up, that's cool too. And hey, any artists out there too, like if you guys want to hit us up with music, we're not going to say no. Right. I'm just saying we don't want to be your friends.
We're not looking for fucking friends.
If the extent of our relationship is like, hey, we got some new music. Cool. Send it over.
Yeah. And but we're not going to fucking sugarcoat it if it's garbage.
Yeah.
Just
right.
Letting you know in advance, as the Buco boys found out.
Yeah.
The hard way.
Yeah. And you'll find more about that. Or you'll find out more about that on the album review for Buco Boys that we'll be doing next week. And the album came out this week, but be on the lookout for it when we review it next week. But thanks for tuning in. We appreciate y'all listening. And thanks for subbing and all the views that you've given us, man. We appreciate it.
Hot doggy. We do appreciate it.
Yeah.
And, just like always, if you are a sworn enemy of the podcast, you can just go fuck yourself.
Yeah.